Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and I want to extend an invitation for you to join us each and every week at this same time and on this same station. It is our prayer that God is using these programs to minister to you wherever you might be in your spiritual life. Father, we take this moment to ask you in the name of Jesus that as we come and study your word, you would open the eyes and ears of our hearts and minds so that you may be able to help us grow in our faith and be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, folks, welcome, and I want to take a look at a passage in a book that we probably don't often spend a lot of time in, and that's going to be in Amos. And I think this passage will help us understand a little bit of what is going on today in our society. Certainly, in light of the many economic woes that we face as a nation today and the uncertainties regarding the financial security of individuals and as a society as a whole, as a nation, I think this passage we're going to look at today, Amos chapter 8, is going to shed some light on how we got here in the first place. Never ceases to amaze me as I open the Word of God, in spite of the fact that it was written so many years ago, how relevant the Bible is to our lives today. There are those people who say, you know, the Bible was written so long ago, it's outdated. It has nothing to say to the postmodern society. Well, little do we know that the Bible has a lot more to say than what we think it has to say, and we ought to be paying attention because a lot of the things that we're seeing happening today are things that we have been told were going to happen. There's a great deal of information in Scripture about the future, and it goes in some cases into a great deal of detail about things that are going to happen. But certainly, over this last year and a half with political campaigns and with the economy suffering and Wall Street in chaos and the banks struggling to survive, this has, if nothing else, caught our attention, and hopefully, Lord willing, it has taught us, if nothing else, the chaos around us, if nothing else, it should have taught us in whom it is that we can trust, and in whom and what it is we should not be trusting in. Life, or we have very little control or any control over life and the circumstances of life, but we know the God who holds the world in His hand and who's sovereign over anything. The passage I want to look at today is Amos chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. But before we get there, I want to sort of set up the stage a little bit. The circumstances that we're experiencing as a country today, do we really believe for a moment that we have reached the place we're at today because of a unfortunate series of coincidences and circumstances? Or is there a much deeper systemic problem to the issues that we're facing today as a nation? I don't think there's a question in the mind of any person that disagrees with the whole idea that at the root of much of what we're facing as a nation today, we find greed. There is no question in the mind of any person who has been able to give this whole situation any thought that greed is at the core of many of the issues that we face as a nation today. And the truth is, listen, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, We have to be able to admit to ourselves that oftentimes we ourselves get caught up in this materialistic, money-driven, money-hungry society and mentality. There is no question whatsoever that many people, in spite of the fact that they knew that it would cost millions of people their entire life savings, they did what they did in order to advance themselves financially, economically, materially, regardless. Greed, without a doubt, is at the core of the things that we are facing as a nation. And you know what? I've learned something else, and pretty much at this point, I've given up watching any more news about a lot of these things because I've had enough. And I don't believe much of what is said out there. I don't really believe the experts are experts at all. I am sick and tired of people patronizing me and talking to me via television as if I were some infant who had no education whatsoever and no ability to reason or think or anything. I'll tell you one thing. All of the commentary and all of the expert advice that has been given out there, 99% of it has failed to deal with the core issues as to why, as a nation, we have become an embarrassment to ourselves. We pride ourselves in being the most advanced, the most powerful, the richest nation in the world, yet we can't even We put ourselves in a situation where the world looks at us and says, what in the world is going on? But listen, all the advice and all the commentary that you hear on television and all the experts talking, none of them hit the nail on the head. And much of it has to do with what I just said, has to do with greed. And as long as you don't talk about the issue, you're never going to solve the problem. And they never talk about the issues. They only talk about those things that really will not cause change or affect change in our society. Now, if at the center of all this, greed is the problem, then there's several questions that beg to be asked. For example, what is greed? For example, what causes greed? For example, how do you deal or cure greed? I mean, you can pass a bunch of laws. You can create tons of regulation. You can add committees in the Congress and the Senate, and you can even create new cabinet level offices for oversight. But if you don't deal with the real issue, you're not fixing anything. All you're doing is putting a Band-Aid over something that inevitably is going to surface once again as a bigger problem than it is even today. But nobody talks about that. Everybody talks about how we ought to infuse money here, how we ought to relax this, how we ought to do that. Nobody talks about the real issues. Now, in Amos chapter 8, Amos receives a shocking vision from the Lord, which he is to in turn communicate to the nation of Israel. And I would like to apply this passage to our circumstances today. And though I am not Amos and I did not receive the vision, I am a preacher of the Word of God, and this story is in the Word of God for a reason. And certainly we can make application of this passage to our circumstances today as Amos was to make application of the vision and communicate this vision and the reason for the vision to the nation of Israel. So I want to go first of all to Amos chapter 8, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. This is what the sovereign Lord showed me, a basket of ripe fruit. Verse 2, what do you see, Amos? He asked. And by the way, the title of this message today is, what do you see, Amos. In spite of how positive, let me just give you Amos's response, I guess, in verse 2. The question is, what do you see, Amos? He asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. And in spite of how positive Amos's response was, the nation of Israel was in for a terrible surprise. Now just listen to the Lord's response to Amos after Amos says, a basket of ripe fruit. Then it says, the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Listen. Let me set the scene here for you. In these two verses, the Lord is telling Amos that Israel is the fruit in the basket, and that they are about to be plucked and consumed. You see, Israel had been given the opportunity to change their ways, and having received countless warnings from the prophets, they've refused to do so. And because they refused to hear the warnings of the prophets and they refused to take the opportunities to change that they had been given, now they had reached a place in history where now it was too late for them to do anything. Listen, God's chosen people were ripe for judgment. That is what God is telling Amos. Because my people, whom I chose, refused to change their ways, because my people would not heed the warnings that I sent them through my prophets, now they have come to a place in their own existence and their own history where they are ripe for judgment. The harvest time is here. And in this passage, God is going to give us an insight. He's going to privilege us to see both sides of the process, the sowing side and the reaping side. So once again, Amos is given a vision, and in that vision, God says, Amos, what do you see? What do you see, Amos? And Amos says, I see a basket filled with ripe fruit. And God reveals to Amos that that ripe fruit in that basket is the nation of Israel, and that that ripe fruit is at a point in its history where it is going to be judged, and God will cause them to suffer the consequences of their decisions. Now, let's look at the sowing side of the equation. Verses 4 through 6. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? Skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. Listen, in these three verses, God describes what the nation of Israel, especially the leaders of the nation, had been sowing. They were sowing, listen to me, because we're making application of this passage to our current situation in this country. The nation and its leaders were sowing the seed of selfishness and self-interest. Listen to me. The people of Israel and its leaders for years, in spite of God's warnings, and in spite of being told that they needed to cease from sowing these seeds, that they were to change, they refused to, and they continued to sow the seed of selfishness and self-interest. Listen, During that time of Israel's history, there was one goal in life for the people of this nation, Israel: to make money and to make a profit. Sound familiar? Listen, we live in a day and age where the philosophy that reigns is the philosophy that says that he who has the most wins. He who has the most expensive wins. He who has the biggest wins. In spite of the fact that we know from being a witness to the lives of many of these people who seemingly have it all, they are the most unhappy and unsatisfied people on the planet. But nonetheless, we live in a materialistic society. And our goal in our society today is no different than the goal Israel had at that time. It was to make money and to make a profit. Does that sound familiar? Does that not paint an oddly familiar picture of the secular, materialistic society in which we find ourselves? A society that is exercising the same attitudes and behaviors that have clearly led to the crisis we find ourselves in today? Listen, we live in a nation that loves money. We live in a nation that pursues money. We live in a nation that desires wealth. Regardless of what we might have to do to get it. And for those of you who have unfortunately had to open your 401k statements in the last few weeks or months, you know what the love of money and the love of wealth and the love of profit has done to you on the part of all those greedy people. Listen, we have become just like the Israelites were during the days of Amos. And that which Israel pursued as its goal has become, listen to me, has become to us our God. Wealth, money, goods. And just as a sub question here, we have become the richest nation in the history of the world. There's a lot of money in this country. A lot of money in this country. And we have allowed our wealth and our power to corrupt us as a people. And now we are a nation like Israel was, a nation that seeks at whatever cost to pursue the one thing it sees as its God, money. Let me ask you this. How better off are we today than we were, let's say, 50 years ago, in the way we've changed our attitudes and our behaviors towards materialism and in our drifting from the divine, from the sovereign, Almighty God? If you wake up at all and you turn on the news or read the newspapers or even have discussions with people around the water fountain at work, you know that the world is a worse place today than it was just 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And the philosophies that we hold to be true in our societies today are the philosophies that have brought us to the point where we are today. And there is no way that anybody in their right mind can possibly say we're better off today. Listen, This is what happened to the nation of Israel. They put profit before people. I know Wall Street wouldn't do that. I know corporate America wouldn't do that. I certainly know the Congress wouldn't do that. But the nation of Israel put profits before people. And when you put profit before people, it is always the poor who suffer and the wealthy who profit. Because the poor don't have anything to defend themselves with or to fight back with. And this kind of environment causes compassion and honesty and integrity to be lost. Just as Israel did, so have we put profit before people. Secondly, they put profit as we have before God. The greatest tragedy of all was that Israel should have known better than to bring about such greed and social injustice, since they had been the people to receive God's law. And more importantly than that, they knew the God who had given them that law. Listen to me. Israel, rather than allowing God to use them as an example to the nations, instead it followed the example of the nations. Sound familiar, America? And in verses 7 through 14, we're not going to read that because we don't have a lot of time. I want you to read that, verses 7 through 17. You're going to see the nation reap the results or the consequences for their greed. One was the effects of the fall on creation and humans, and how it is that the entire earth groans for the day when it will be restored by God to the way things were before the fall. And how God used then, and perhaps even today, uses natural disasters to warn of greater disasters that are coming. I want to spend a couple of minutes addressing some issues here that I think are relevant to our situation and to the passage that we're looking. First of all, denying that greed and denying that sin and denying that we are denying God changes nothing. Just as the nation of Israel experienced and suffered the consequences for their disobedience and their sin and their greed and their love of money, and so will America. Secondly, let the conditions serve as a commentary to our society, to us, that a society without a God is not a society you want to be a part of or live in. Humanity crumbles when you decide as a nation that God is no longer God, or you dismiss Him as if He could be dismissed. Thirdly, I want you to think about this. Materialism, wealth, money is not the reason why you exist. You exist to experience life as God said life should be experienced. When you become a materialistic person, a lover of money, you miss the picture and you are stripped from experiencing God, life, and love the way it has always been intended. And in the words of Jesus, what shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, the issues we face as a nation are not really economic issues, financial issues. They are heart issues. And unless we invite God back into our nation and into our lives, and we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and repent of our sins, nothing's going to change, at least not for the good. Human nature will continue to take us where human nature will take us, and that is to ruins. Father, we thank You for this time of study. May we take Your words seriously, heed them. so that we ourselves may understand that without you, there's nothing even worth living for. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word and for the Lord Jesus who died for us. For it is in his name that we pray.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be and who the Bible claims him to be. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in his name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now his child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing, and I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.